This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
During the massive press conference that Roger Goodell always holds, he said that they are going to play another football game in Mexico City. They announced it. They did not announce the teams, though, Kevin.
The next two years.
They love having that opportunity to be down there, but they did not announce the teams that are going to be playing in the game.
Hopefully the field is in shape.
Yeah. Well, you know, if a Shakira concert happens, your field gets destroyed.
Hey, that's worth it.
Absolutely it is.
No, those hips will tear it up.
They don't lie. The Jones family, and Stephen Jones was the one that said it, look, we're fine with this. We always love it, but we've always had a problem giving up a home game. We don't want to give up that money because it would be very damaging to our revenues. And they make a lot of money at home because, Kevin, they have, 100,000 people they could fit in their stadium. And so the quote, though, that really stuck out to me is, we haven't and we won't. We haven't given up a home game for international play, and we won't give up a home game for international play. So when it comes to the rest of the league, they have to say, okay, if we're scheduled to play the Cowboys and we're willing to play, we have to give up one of our home games so that we can play against them.
Sure. And look, that makes sense. I know for the longest time, that's why maybe you haven't seen a ton of variety in some of those London games. Or some of those England games, you just haven't seen a bunch of variety because people are like, I mean, I don't really want to give up that home game. But if you're the Cowboys, you're the biggest name in the NFL. By the way, I have more statistics to hammer that home later. You're the biggest name in the NFL. Why in the world would you give up the home game? You could be like, no, yeah, I'll be there, but not at the expense of my home game. That makes sense.
But the Cowboys, does that talk to their power in the NFL that they say we won't?
I mean, to a certain extent, sure.
Would there ever be a point where the NFL would be like, I mean, you will, and the Joneses have to, or do you think they're like, nope, we won't?
Good luck with that. I was going to say maybe the Cowboys would try to flex their might and show that they're more powerful than the NFL, but I guess they did that again in the Ezekiel Elliott case, and that didn't really work out for them, so...
Yeah, and was
maybe they shouldn't try it.
Trying to get Roger Goodell fired.
Yeah, maybe they shouldn't try that.
Yeah, so maybe Jerry doesn't have as much power as we like to think sometimes.
I might have to rethink this. Maybe now I'm going to be like, well, that's what you think, but we'll see if that works out for you.
In other news, and you can check it out on 1053thefan.com, it is Robert Quinn would like to come back. He loves being in Dallas. He wants to be a Dallas Cowboy, Kevin. Now, I don't know exactly how financially they're going to be able to make that work, but you said you could keep both Byron.
You can keep every one of your free agents
and
if you
Quinn
want.
And Amari Cooper. How does that all work? I mean, can you still actually build and make this team better if by doing that?
No, because you can, but then it's straight from the draft, and everyone in every single player we draft is going to be great. Sure, I get that. I think we all agree on that. That's the way it is every single year, except not really, of course. So, you can bring back every single free agent you want. You could absolutely make that work financially. The issue is then you can't go out and really expand anywhere else, and then it's all up to the draft and how much you think this team improves off of switching coaches, which I know from looking at the fan text is usually a lot.
And do you want Quinn back?
Yes.
That's what I want to know from everybody out there. Do y'all want Robert Quinn to be on this team? Does he need to be on this team for you to feel like everything, we have the pressure that we need?
I think so. I mean, look, your big time defensive end that you thought was going to get to the quarterback all the times really didn't. Robert Quinn is the reason you got pressure this last year. It was Robert Quinn and then maybe Jalen Smith and DeMarcus Lawrence in a push.
I do wonder if Quinn got the pressure thanks to DeMarcus Lawrence.
Fair.
But that's the thing. You have to have somebody on the other side that gets it if somebody else can't.
Sure.
You have to have somebody that can get to the quarterback, and that's what the Cowboys' benefit was they got to see that their very small investment of a sixth-round draft pick, seventh-round draft pick for sixth-round draft pick for this guy, and then the money they paid him, it really paid off for them in a huge way. Now, the question then is, well, Does it pay off for us in the future if we add to that, or do we go try and find another frugal move that we can capitalize on the same way? Those things don't come up that often, but I also don't sit there and say, I have to pay everybody all the time. I want to build a team.
Robert Quinn is pretty high on my list of people who need to get paid. He really, really is. Like, if you look at, if this defense is interested in making impact plays, there is nobody on this defense that made more impact plays last year than Robert Quinn.
From the 682, yes, Quinn was better than D-Law last year. From the 817, rather have Quinn back over Jones. From the 469, nah, sacks don't matter and aren't predictive or stable. I agree they're not stable. Neither interceptions, though. Like, interceptions aren't predictive either.
Yeah, the idea that sacks aren't predictive, that's, I mean, like, in terms of what happens next in the game, that's a little silly. Your ability to get to the quarterback is absolutely predictive of your opportunity to win the game, especially given the fact that you can increase the amount of chaos. Like, what does everybody always say? Turnovers are the one of the, if not the number one predictor of who's going to win the game. Well, guess what? If you're getting to the quarterback, you have a significantly higher opportunity to force fumbles. And people who think turnovers are random, that's silly. And so that is a direct correlation of how you force turnovers by getting to the quarterback. And that is a direct correlation to how you win the game. So I disagree with that.
Yeah, sacks I feel like are way more stable than turnovers.
Yeah, because
way more stable.
Yeah. I think it's the quarterbacks are getting rid of the ball a lot faster than they used to. They're starting to become more advanced in what they're being taught and learning, and more experienced quarterbacks are going on. But I think, yeah, it does. If you can get a sack that forces somebody to be in a third and long situation, I think everything comes down to timing. More than anything else, when am I getting my turnovers? When am I getting my big third down conversion? When am I not getting something to happen? And that's what the Cowboys struggle with the most this year, Kevin. That's my problem. Is, okay, maybe they got a sack on second down, but what were they doing on third down when it was time to convert? And a lot of times this year I had problems in that they could convert, and it was against the run. It was against the run defense for this team this year, and that was something that became a big struggle for me. Defensive stats, Kevin. I was trying to look. The San Francisco 49ers, you said they had 57 sacks this year?
Correct, including the playoffs.
Including the playoffs. And you said that every team that has 56 or more ends up winning the Super Bowl?
55 or more in the last 15 years. It's happened six times. All six of those teams have won the Super Bowl.
Proving yet again that defense wins championships. It's a fact.
And that the free agents are going to come here because no state income tax.
Yeah.
No, that is not a fact. We have talked about that many times. Not a fact.
I do wonder though with you know how home runs are changing the game right now of baseball? Like, everybody just wants to hit home runs.
Sure.
What statistic would be the one where you're like, yeah, but it's a run? Like, it's not a base hit that puts a guy on base that could be two runs. It's a run. So is an interception for six, is that the statistic that you're like, okay, I will give up everything for that. If we can figure out how to get that. I'll give up all the yards in the world if we can have one interception for six on a drive.
That would be harder.
I want to find out that stat. That
would be a little harder to quantify, too, because then you have to factor in some momentum, and I know that drives people freaking insane because that's hard to quantify, and some people don't believe that's actually a thing that carries over from time to time, or from drive to drive or game to game or whatever. So, yeah, I'd have to look into that.
All right,
we could figure this out.
I just want to figure out, because I don't like the way that the world turned for that this year, Kevin, you know, or the way baseball is going right now. You know, I've been against it. I'm like, hey, give me all the 330 hitters that I can find.
Right.
And they're like, there's none left. And I'm like, crap. I want to figure out.
So you got them all.
Huh?
So you got them all. If there's none left, you got them all.
You got every single one of them. The other news, Kevin, and I think that this isn't breaking, but it is something that Mike Fisher reported on, especially around the draft this year and when the Mavericks were having in free agency. The Grizzlies, there is word out there that the Grizzlies and the Mavericks have kind of an agreement for a fallback for Andre Iguodala to be a Dallas Maverick. And the trade deadline is going to be coming up, Kevin. I'm curious as to how you feel about that. I love the player, And I think that he is the perfect defensive player to go along with what they would like. Plus, he can do other things offensively. He's aging, but I think he's a great veteran to add to the mix.
Is there any chance we could get Ja Morant instead? I'm just kidding. I mean,
we could get Ja Rule probably.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
He could set up really unsuccessful festivals.
Oh, Firefest. It makes sense. Your opportunity to bring somebody that you desperately need to play better defense here across the board, even if he's only a 15 to 20 minute a game guy. I support this 100%. I can't imagine it would be particularly pricey, especially since you feel like they've been sitting on waiting to get rid of Andre Iguodala since the second they got him. So, yeah, no, I would support that.
And then the Stars lose last night, Kevin, to the Toronto Maple Leafs. And Toronto last night, Kevin, they win 5-3. They scored from all over the ice, and Radulov had a pair of goals. Shippy made the prediction yesterday that a very young Toronto Maple Leafs player would dominate, and he had a goal and assist last night.
Auston Matthews is insane. And if you look at the goals that they scored, especially I think it was the third one, I mean, just the way that they set that goal up, I mean, the passing was perfect. It was just, I mean, it was a thing of beauty, and you can't really fault Bishop for that one. I mean, dude, Bishop made some amazing saves. He had some that, you know, maybe he should have saved, but I mean, that's a really, really, really talented team that the Stars faced last night, and you know, you're gonna lose some of those. You got a big win on Monday against the Lightning that you probably shouldn't have got both points after Stamkos tied it going down the stretch, and really going into that game, I thought they were gonna lose it, but you know, you got 2 points in that one, and then last night, you know, they just couldn't get it done.
I was really intrigued by an article that you tagged over, and we didn't really get the chance to talk about it before the show. Is the Stars brand of hockey boring?
Oh, it is. And here's the thing. Here's the problem. So their brand of hockey is what the St. Louis Blues do, what they did last season in winning the Stanley Cup. The problem is they're not very good at maintaining offensive possession. They don't spend a lot of time on the attack. Like, and that's the key to the St. Louis Blues, what they do. They play great defense. They got great goaltending.
They keep it in
their
zone.
They keep it in their zone, and they lean on you. They make you ice the puck. They put tons of pressure on you. The Stars are scoring on odd man rushes. That's what they're requiring to score. That's where a lot of these goals are coming from. They're not establishing time in the offensive zone, and they're not cycling the puck. They're not doing the things that they need to do for their brand of hockey. Is it boring? Yes. But does it work come playoff time? Yes.
Then it becomes then it magically becomes Lindy Ruffstyle not boring, was great. Right?
Yeah, exactly. Lindy Ruffstyle was so much fun to watch, but you saw what happened when you got to the playoffs.
All right, well, I would the much ice rather shrinks. We win in yeah. the playoffs than be fun.
But you got to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You got to play, and you almost have to play two different brands of hockey, or you have to play two different brands of sports sometimes. Whatever it takes to get into it, and then whatever it takes to win that tournament. And so that's the way sports are, though, man. You got to be flexible, variable. You got to be able to do multiple different things. Are the New York Jets keeping the Cowboys from getting Jamal Adams, Kevin? That is the question that we have to ask ourselves right now very seriously and be concerned about. The Jets could, and here's the reason why. Jamal Adams says he is open to a contract extension with the Jets, and therefore they might not have that opportunity to get him. Now, you might have to trade him because he wants to be the highest paid safety in the league.
Sure.
Maybe
that will make them want to trade him.
Ooh. Because he wants to be the highest paid safety?
Yeah.
I think they're going to pay him. I think they're absolutely going to pay him, man.
Well, then we're not going to get him.
Why? Because if they pay
because
him, they want to keep him.
Because you just said they're going to pay him. Why would they pay him and trade him away?
Yeah, I totally understand that. But the dude right there, man, he said, just to clear this up, we've all had small discussions thus far. Not in detailed talks yet. Just talked about it. With that being said, I fully expect to be extended this offseason. I want to be in New York.
Boo.
He says he wants to be in New York.
That's why.
You know what, Shippy? That's a good question.
Thank you.
DFW, the no state tax here. Like, there's so
state
many
state income tax.
Yeah, there's so many things here.
But nobody cares about
that. That we have to offer. And Jamal
might.
Yeah. Kevin, there's just part of me that's trying to figure out how the Cowboys make this roster better. Somebody just said it's a dumbass question to ask about bringing Quinn back, if possible. That's the reason I asked it, because if it's possible, do you want to do it to concern? You have to think about your team, and can you build the rest of the roster? And you said no. You said you can't keep everybody and build a good roster. You're going to have some weak spots. Safety is going to be the spot that's weak again. Now, are you going to invest that in your draft pick this year in a safety, or are you going to invest it in another wide receiver? And those are the options that the Cowboys have to weigh right now. That's what they're dealing with. So, no, it's not a dumbass question to start thinking about how you build your roster and what you're going to do there. God. Sorry, man.
Whoa.
Yeah. But, yeah, sorry, Shippy.
It's okay.
The other thing, though, Kevin, is the Chris Bryant story. We brought this up yesterday.
Did we trade for him?
I've been at the top of the mountain for Chris Bryant, right? Like, I was the first person to bring this up to you.
Sure.
And the trade value is clear right now, right? The trade value is very clear because now you understand.
It's exactly 2 years, and he wants to get the hell out of there.
And are if you get him, you have 2 years of control. Are you saying, hey, we're going to also force you to wait these 2 years? Or are you saying, you know what, we want to keep you?
I definitely think at that point, if you were going to make that move, you would open up that conversation. You're like, hey, check it. I know we got 2 years of control on you, but can you give us some contract parameters that you're looking for? Because unlike the Cubs, we don't want to oppressively keep you under our thumb. And I think he's like, oh, what was that last part? I like that last part. Okay.
He's set to make $18.6 million this coming season.
Yep.
It's going to go over $20 million in 2021.
Yeah.
His agent is also Scott Boras.
And my guess would be like, I think we said yesterday, let's just say make it nice and even, 25.4. So you're looking at 2 for $44, which, I mean, I think we would all agree is pretty darn reasonable in the current baseball climate.
And it's going to pack the house. Like, you say that the attendance is going to be there, but aren't those last extra tickets going to get sold?
Yeah, no, the walk-up crowd you would think would be great. And then the other thing is it sets you up hopefully to win more, which sets you up for 2021, which has been my concern all along, is that they look at this as they're like, well, we'll be fine. We don't need to win this
year. If you get a playoff run, you're getting extra money that you weren't supposed to get.
That is true.
And that money can be, and I know they don't look at it this way, but that money can then in turn be spent on more players.
You would think.
And you already saved a huge amount of money on your new stadium. So
$500 million of free money from the taxpayers.
So I feel like there's plenty of money that the Rangers should be acquiring so that they can go add to the roster next year. And if you have Chris Bryant with your contract there, bam, let's keep rolling this thing. But the Bryant, Mookie Betts, Lindor, Nolan Arenado, and others, there's lots of trade options that are out there right now. Here are the realistic landing spots for Chris Bryant this offseason, Kevin. These are the realistic trade destinations. I'll get to that.
Oh, yes.
The number one realistic landing spot, and they're in everybody's conversation, is the Dodgers.
Yeah.
They've had a very quiet offseason. They've been connected to Lindor and Betts. But if you add Chris Bryant in there, Justin Turner could shift to second, and Bryant could take third over for him.
You know what makes me mad about that? And then they'll probably just be like, you know what? We'll go ahead and take Lindor anyway. You're like, hold on, but I thought we'll take him.
Mm-hmm.
God, that's infuriating. But then again, when you pay $2 billion for a team and you're like, money doesn't really matter.
Yeah. And so they could even add a couple other players. You're right. They could add a couple. They could take two players from the Cubs if they wanted to. You know, if they wanted Wilson Contreras also, they could be like, yeah, sure, add him into the.
I know it's got to be frustrating at times being a Dodgers fan since you have been on the cusp of winning but have not won at all several times. But it is good to know, right, that you have an ownership group that if you tell them, hey, we have a problem, they're like, all right, we'll take care of it. Or if you're like, hey, we want this player, they're like, no problem. But we also want this other player too. Really? How much is that going to cost? $300 million. All right. That's fine.
Yeah, we'll do it.
But you can't have more than $400 million. So you still have that leftover $100 million if you want to go pick up Chris Bryant.
Here's a team that you don't want to hear in the conversation, but it's going to be the New York Yankees.
Gross.
Bryant is an upgrade, right, over Gio Urshela.
Yeah.
And Bryant.
Gross.
Like, it would allow Urshela to be a bench, a utility bench guy. That would be their way of looking at it. And maybe there's a package that they can deal out there. The Yankees haven't done much this offseason aside from the Gerrit Cole deal, which was a monster deal.
I mean, but that's all you need to do, right?
Yep.
So, okay, so you could conceivably, good God, so you could conceivably be rolling with a, I guess, middle of the lineup of Judge, Sanchez, Bryant, Stanton. Is that what you're telling me? That's mm-hmm. what we're rolling
with
2
Gerrit
through
Cole
5, 3 through
that.
6?
Weak.
Awesome. So anytime that the Yankees have a road game, it's conceivable that Gerrit Cole could just roll out to the mound with a 6-0 lead. And you're just like, you know what? We're not going to pick. You know what I would do? I would sit him after that. I was like, I know you warmed up and everything, but you want to just take the night off?
Gerrit Cole hasn't pitched in 3 months because his team has been so badass.
Yeah, everyone's like, why is Gerrit Cole struggling? I'd be like, he started 3 games. Oh, is he hurt? No. They just haven't used him because they've hit 10 billion home runs.
The third most likely team, according to CBS Sports, to be in the mix for Chris Bryant, the Texas Rangers. Win,
baby. Shut up. Are you serious? Oh, man. I was just waiting for you to go crosstown rival Houston, and I just break my computer.
Here's what they said.
Oakland A's.
They really liked the Rangers for Rendon or Donaldson, but then they went cheap and grabbed Todd Frazier instead. And Frazier's like, he's not a reason to avoid looking at Chris Bryant at all. At all.
Yeah.
And they said, this has exactly been my pitch, Kevin. How perfectly would Bryant fit in front of Joey Gallo in that offense?
Yeah.
And then you would finally have like a scary combination. And Kevin, Bassick brought this up yesterday, or Dawson did yesterday. When you talk about the Rangers, over the history of the Rangers, you've had a name. You've had Juan Gonzalez, you've had Pudge, you had Fielder, you had Beltre. You had a guy that you were like, that guy is a reason for national audiences to check him out. You don't have one right now. The Rangers don't have a guy, and you want Joey Gallo to be that guy, but
he's not.
He didn't prove it for the season. I'm not taking shots at him. It's real. It's true.
Just wait till later in the show where he bashes Troy Aikman.
I'm not going to bash Troy Aikman. I'm just going to present some facts, and I want everybody to decipher the facts for themselves.
What time is that segment? I can't be here.
12:40.
Going home.
All right. So when we have – you don't have a guy. So if you add Chris Bryant, it elevates Joey, actually. It makes that tandem right there be something that is almost must-see baseball for the rest of the country.
Because Chris Bryant is a national name.
Yes, he is. He's been an MVP.
And they won a World Series.
Yes.
And so at
the most important World Series.
Yes, I know. I could definitely see that. The ratings kind of bear that out. You know what's really interesting is I have a different take on this text from the 469. I'm so sick and tired of baseball only having big market teams paying for players. I'm sick and tired of us not acting like we're a big market team. You do realize, like, we're in the top 5 markets. We could be that team everybody hates. You know, like, the Rangers are in a position where they could absolutely be one of those teams that everyone in baseball is like, oh, the Rangers again?
Yes.
Gross. Like, this is what I want. I want us on the list where they're like, oh, Chris Bryant might be available. Ugh. Probably the Rangers, or Nolan Arenado would be available, but only if somebody pays the entire contract. Gross. Probably the Rangers.
I want teams around the country and fan bases around the country, when you suggest that team's in the conversation for a player, you think to yourself, crap, no. And just like you did with the Yankees. When you said, hold on, Aaron, you said, named those names off? No. I can't have that happen because they're going to kill us. And the Rangers aren't there right now. There is a fourth team, Kevin.
Oh, no. I was pretending it was just the 3.
5, 6, 7, 8. There are 8 teams in the mix.
Okay.
One of them's the Cubs, by the way. The Cubs already have him. The Nationals, they did lose Rendon over the offseason. So maybe they're just like, hey, let's go get Chris Bryant. Philly.
Yeah, and Philly has been that team that they've just bought up all of the players.
Every time they want to, man. And they got Andrew McCutchen, Real Muto, Hoskins, and then they got, Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Like, do the Phillies have enough to give the Cubs back, though? That's the biggest thing, I think, with the Rangers and a lot of these other teams, is do they have enough trade capital?
And that's why, that's one of the appeals, because somebody said Chris Bryant from the 817 makes zero sense. He's nowhere near Arenado. I don't know if I would say he's nowhere near Arenado. Like, sure, 2018 when he got hurt was not his best. But if you look at the previous seasons before that, like 15, 16, 17, he was just as good, if not better, than Arenado. And he was not that far behind in terms of just war in 2019. So, yeah, would I rather have Nolan Arenado? Of course I would rather have Nolan Arenado. The issue that you're going to run into there is supposedly the way it works is, like, the Cubs know they got 2 years of control on Chris Bryant, then he wants to get the hell out of there. The Rockies, from everything you hear, they're operating as if that opt-out in Arenado's contract doesn't exist. And so they're like, look, you've got him for the next 8 billion years. And people are like, what about that 2-year opt-out? And they're like, don't worry about that. That's not going to happen. And so you'd have to give up a lot more from everything we're hearing to get Nolan Arenado. That's why I'm bringing it up, because we don't have the trade ammunition. That's the reason why I think Chris Bryant might be more likely. Not that he's a more desirable player, because I would definitely rather have Nolan Arenado. I'm just saying the logistics of it might not work out.
You're saying the Rockies, they're like, do you not see this contract? And every other team's like, yeah, but flip it to page 2. And they're like, no, it's just look at the contract.
No, just look at the main page. That's why we put it on the first page.
The cover letter. It basically, it's a whole summary of everything, but we want to know the details. Yeah. Don't worry about the
details. They're just nonchalantly like, well, he's not going to opt out. Well, how do you know that? Well, we promise.
They're like, the devil's in the details. Yes. And aren't you a good Christian? And they're like, oh, wow. So that's what they keep doing at them.
That would kind of throw me off if somebody said that. I'd be like, what? Yes.
The Braves are also in the mix, having lost Josh Donaldson. The Marcell Ozuna deal wasn't so big that the Braves actually should stop going out there. They could have a deal that's packaged around Austin Riley and several of their young pitchers. Plus, they have, 5,000 draft prospects that they can say, hey, go ahead and take these.
And the other thing that scares me about a team like the Braves is, you could say obviously the same thing for the Yankees, is they were already really damn good. So if you're looking for the opportunity to make a move, like some of these players, and then Arenado, in terms of the no trade clause, would obviously view those as upgrades, because he's like, well, I'm going to a team that already won a division title last year. Like, I think it's super awesome that the Rangers are opening up a new ballpark and stuff, but if you said, would you rather go to the new ballpark or the team that was in the World Series or the team that won their division, I'm probably going with the team that won their division ahead of the new ballpark.
Oh my, is this the moment, Kevin, where we're going to give away the word for $1,000?
What is it?
It'll be in this segment.
Oh my God, listen.
So not yet.
We've been given $1,000 every hour, and this could be your chance. So all you got to do is Tolo, and you could win $1,000.
We already had 3 DFW winners in the past week.
Bam. Guys, there is a...
is it right now?
I like my chances.
I don't know. It's your discretion here, Kevin.
Okay, let's wait.
All right, we'll wait.
Oh! Okay, we'll wait.
All right, the Tua Tagovailoa. Oh crap! I had it the other day. Tua has said, "I'll be participating in the combine, but my main goal is not to win the 40, not to win the bench press, but to win my medical. I'm going to go over there looking to win my medical, and then go in and interview with the teams. Hopefully there's a pro day down the line, either late March or early April."
I think that's really smart too, because like, obviously, you know what the medical will mean for him. But in the interviews, I think he can, you know, put a lot of teams at ease when he shows, like, what an intelligent person he is and what a plan he has for his injury recovery. I think that could win over a lot of people.
Tagovailoa.
There you go.
I had it, man. All right. The other thing, though, there was a wild night at the Garden last night. A very wild night. Now, we don't talk about New York sports that often, aside from maybe the Giants.
Sure.
Anger towards the Yankees sometimes. But we don't ever talk about the Knicks. Like, it just doesn't come up.
They don't matter.
And they really don't. Last night, the fan base started chanting for Jimmy Nolan to sell the team. They start, and Kevin, we had a huge chant that really did start to erode Coach K's legacy.
Okay.
But the Jimmy Nolan situation, they start chanting, sell the team, sell the team. And how long has he owned the Knicks, Kevin?
Oh, my God, for freaking ever. And then the other thing is, do you remember what happened the last time this came up? He identified people that he saw chanting that and tried to get them banished from the building.
Yeah, take his season tickets away. I don't want to let him back in the building. He was like, you think it's funny? You think it's funny to talk to me like that? Yeah, you're done.
Because he was on video doing that.
God, he's the worst, dude.
And I don't understand why he doesn't understand why people would chant sell the team. They've been so bad for so long.
He does nothing to make that team better. And he's just bad at what he does.
Yeah, did you say Dolan or Nolan?
Nolan. Dolan. Sorry, it's Dolan. I don't know why I wrote Nolan there. Jimmy Dolan.
Because you're thinking about Nolan Arenado?
Yes. That's absolutely fine. I am.
That's fine.
The other thing, though, is...
Would you chant that?
Sell the team to Nolan Ryan?
No. Is there an ownership group right now that you would chant sell the team at?
No, because with the Rangers, I still think that they financially look at it and say, we are making money and we want to. I think they want to, and I think there might be an option to do that at some point, but I think they want to be good. I really do. They just are trying to
fit in a budget.
Yeah. And Kevin, you're a budget guy.
That's true.
But and so how many times do you take a big swing? I mean, they took a big swing and they ended up paying Prince Fielder for a long time.
Yeah, and but that was previous ownership groups that had to suffer the fate of a lot of our failed big swings, right?
The Fielder thing was this group. Because we went to the World Series whenever this ownership group bought.
That was this ownership group?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, Greenberg was involved. So, at the time it was Greenberg, but they kind of pushed him out.
So our last big swings have all been pretty gigantic failures. The Elvis thing is a failure. Chu was a failure. Fielder was a failure. So I get that they're hesitant to spend big money because we have not done well with big money.
And with Jerry, there's no way. I really don't, because I like Jerry as the owner. I really do. Sure. I think he's willing, he wants to do it. Now, his GM situation is still broken, but I understand what he says when he's like, look, everybody would run the team the same way if they owned it, or if they wanted to, they'd run it the way they want to, and that's the way I want to. I'm like, all right. So I want him to continue running it because, man, we've got some really cool stuff in DFW because of the Jones family and what they've done.
Sure.
The Mavericks? No, I don't want them to sell.
Yeah.
Mark Cuban's awesome. Like he's a really fun owner. I think that it's always an exciting adventure with Mark Cuban.
And I do believe that he will do whatever it takes to win.
Shippy, Gagliardi, he's a pretty solid owner, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, I guess the only people that you would want to sell the team are the Rangers owners.
So there you go.
All right.
So that would be it, Kevin.
FC Dallas people to
definitely not
there.
FC Dallas because look what his football team's doing right now.
He spent the money there.
He hasn't spent the money there on their quarterback yet.
That is super weird.
In addition, though, Marcus Morris, there was a bit of a scuffle last night in the Garden as Jay Crowder stole the ball and launched a three-pointer from the corner. Elfrid Payton took exception to Crowder's try because it was 126 to 101, and they were like, dude, you didn't have to do that.
That'll do it.
So he leveled him. He leveled Jay Crowder, who I love. Crowder wasn't happy about it. He jumped up, and a scuffle, some fisticuffs began between the two of them. Payton was ejected for picking up a flagrant 2 foul for the act, and Crowder and Marcus Morris were tossed for what they had going on. After the game, Marcus Morris said this about Jay Crowder.
I don't think it's a build-up, man. I think dude is just, he played the game a different way. Like, he just, a lot of female tendencies on the court, flopping and throwing his head back the entire game. And like I said, man, it's a man's game, and you just get tired of it, man. And then, obviously, at the end, I was very unprofessional. They win in the game. It's a good team. And, he does stuff like that, man.
When you say unprofessional, are you referring to the steal at that point? Is it kind of code that you don't go for those plays late like that?
No, the steal was cool. You got the steal. It is what it is. But when you step back and shoot a three, you know what I'm saying, and try to, low-key, rub it in that they're winning, It's just unprofessional, man. It's soft. His game is soft. He's soft. It's just, you know, just how he carried it, man. You know, it's just very womanlike.
Well, congratulations, sir. You're about to get fined. Whether you think he should or not, when you say flopping, throwing your head back, those are just female tendencies, and this is a man's game. Do you know how society works in 2020? Regardless of what I think about it, that's how society works, and the NBA tries to pretend like they're most ahead of everybody when it comes to the culture and everything like that. You're going to get fined.
Yeah. All right, so I guess that's where we have to break down on this point. And I heard Sean and RJ this morning discussing, like, you can't say throw like a girl anymore. You can't say, you know, there are things that you just have to be in. And I used the word earlier, Kevin, you have to be more hyper aware than ever before about what you're saying and doing. And it goes to Genesis has an ad in the Super Bowl. They took the helicopter that they had for 2 seconds in the ad out.
Probably smart.
Yeah. Because you know, somebody would be like, I can't believe y'all are showing a helicopter.
How inconsiderate.
And yes, agree.
That's what would happen.
Even though they did the production on this months ago.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter that y'all left it in there in the situation that we're dealing with right now. But I get it. You have to be more aware. And when you say womanlike or very feminine, it is, in a way, you're saying it as degrading. And that men don't play that way. Women are the ones that get pushed around. That's what you're showing right there. Women are weak. Guys don't play a weak game. And Kevin, there may have been a time where that stuff could be said and nobody took offense to it, but I think they did take offense because the stereotype existed. But now you're starting to see more women break the stereotypes. More people are breaking the stereotypes of what we think they are. And in addition to that, they're more capable, more confident, feeling vocal about it and saying, hey, that's not cool.
Yeah. And then there's a whole bunch of people who don't actually believe that, but they think it's the cool thing to say and they jump in as well. So it is a really loud voice out there. And I mean, and I see that people are like, look, I don't have to watch what I say, or I don't have to do this, or I don't have to do that. And that's totally fine. I'm just... You can live your life however you like. I'm just saying.
Quarter mile at a time.
Yeah, okay. If you're in the sports world or you're in the public eye, there is going to be blowback for that, whether you think it's fair or not. And I will say, I do respect people in an odd way that they're like, you know what? I'm going to stand up for this and not back down. Doesn't mean I have to agree with them, but I hate the fake apology, right? Where you're like, oh, because he's probably going to come out with an apology. And he's like, oh, I have sister, I have daughter, and they're a strong female. And you know he doesn't mean any of that.
Oh, like whenever I go on a rant and then apologize afterwards? Oh, I don't
do
mean
you
it.
Never mean it?
Never mean it.
Okay, and so he's...
I always apologize and tell you that I'm sorry that you feel a certain way.
Oh, that's the worst of the apologies. I'm sorry if you were offended. That's the worst of the apologies. But look, he's probably going to apologize and reference all the women that he has in his life that are super awesome. Like when Doug Williams did that, when he said something derogatory about women, he's like, I have four daughters or I have four sisters. Like, they don't mean any of that, but that's what you have to do when you say anything like that. And he's going to get fined and he's probably going to apologize. And that's just the way it is. And if you don't know that, being in the public eye and working in sports, then I don't know what to tell you.
Now, and that being said, Kevin, there are people that have tailored their images because they navigate these things very well, right? They stay away from things. They avoid certain discussions.
Oh, and you can also argue that there are people who have tailored their images and gotten to the very top by saying, nope.
Yeah, I mean, look at Michael Jordan. What did he avoid his entire career?
Politics. He said Republicans buy sneakers too.
Yeah, nobody ever got on to him about that. Nobody got on to him about it because he was the best. So if you're the best and you navigate certain things, it's fine. But if you are Marcus Morris and you say that something like this, and especially to a female reporter, she's going to be like, tweet, and then it's there. In addition to that, Kevin, last night,
Man, people are fired up about this.
John Morant said there was no hot water and only three drops of water coming out of the Knicks visitor showers. He said, this is beyond me. I'm going straight to my hotel to take another shower.
You know what I would really like? If all the people at MSG were chanting, sell the team, not because of like the lack of product, but because of the budgetary restrictions around MSG. And they're like, I think that your money is spent poorly. You could get better concessions, better plumbing. And that's really why they're mad. They're mad because they know the opponent's showers don't work. They're mad because of the concession stand. It has nothing to do with like how the team is playing. They're like, you don't budget properly.
Absolutely. So, yeah. And I see people are all sorts of like, hey, I grew up where sticks and stones may break my bones, but words weren't hurt me. And you know what? I feel that way too. Words are words sometimes. Sometimes words cut deep with people. Yep. And the power of the words you use matters. And I think that if you think about words won't hurt me, well, words can help though. Look at what Kobe has said that has made a lot of people like this week has been, hey, all these people saying just the words he used motivated them or whatever. So words do matter. When you the way you use them, words matter. And they can cut people or they can lift them up. So it's just how you want to live your life. It's just how you want to go about your business.
Ah, here we go. This is from Marcus Morris. I apologize for using the term female tendencies. This is on Twitter. Here we go. Man, called it. I have the utmost respect for women and everything they mean to us. It was a heat of the moment response, and I never intended for any women to feel as though in any way I'm disrespecting them. Again, I apologize with my comments.
There you go.
And then he references mom two tweets later. Called it.
This is one of those very interactive segments. We really do need you to text in right now, 877-881-1053. By the way, keep listening for your chance to win this hour for $1,000. Somebody just won, Kevin. Somebody just won.
Was it you?
It wasn't me because I can't win.
That's true.
But somebody just won, and you could do it too this hour. So make sure you're toe-lowing, turn it on, leave it on, and that way you can just walk by and be like, oh, just heard the word, text it in. Bam! But the question right now, and obviously, again, this is what we need from you to text in because I want to know. I'm very curious as to how many people are still grieving and how many people have moved on and said, okay, I have to focus my attention in a new direction right now. 877-881-1053, the AutoFlex Leasing fan text. Sunday was the moment that it happened with Kobe Bryant. It was early Sunday morning.
Right.
Monday we spent every segment except for maybe two on this show discussing right. Kobe. Last night, Vanessa Bryant released her statement. And I think that was something that there are people that get involved in current event stories and they wait for each thing before they can finally get some closure on something.
Sure.
And in her first public comments, she said,
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.